You're going to meet Dave and Diane Junker in just a moment, but I'm going to ask Carmen Chug if you'd stand, please. Carmen is back here. Well, you weren't up very long. Give it maybe the count of three anyway. Carmen is from Italy. She has been working in the area of Venice. She lives in the city of Mestre and has a long-term heritage. Her father, you've met, is Norm Chug. Norm and Jeanette were missionaries in Venezuela. So Carmen is an MK, a missionary kid. She grew up in Venezuela. And in fact, Venezuelan young people are some of the people that she brings to Italy to help her with mission projects there. She really likes the fact that they love the Lord and they're hard workers and they don't slack off on the task that needs to be done. The Lord has just given her a heart and a burden for the people in Italy. And so we are grateful to have Carmen with us this weekend. You ladies had a chance to hear her yesterday, and everybody will have a chance to hear her tonight at 6 o'clock. We're going to be meeting back, and we'll wrap things up and give you an opportunity to even ask questions of the missionaries. The other couple that we've had, that couple is Dave and Diane Junker. And Dave and Diane have been serving in Papua New Guinea for many years, since I think 1974, you said, when you guys first went there? 1984. Challenged in 74, and then went to PNG in 1984. Then did a tour of service in Singapore before the new tribes sent them back to Papua New Guinea. Dave, why don't you come? He's going to be our speaker this morning, and if you are a children in junior church, now is your cue that you're free to go. I just really appreciate Dave and Diane and Carmen. I was mentioning to the first service a truth that's really dawned on me through this conference, and that is that both of these are veteran missionaries. They didn't head out to the field a week ago, or even a year ago, or even a decade ago. They've been doing it for a long time. And as a result of that, they bring a grasp of the whole mission perspective. You're going to see that in Dave's presentation. You've seen it already in Carmen's. They just have a sense of the big picture of what God is doing. It's really a blessing to us to have you here. God bless you, Dave. Thank you for being a part of us. And Lord bless you.
Nasaksak Itao. We said that in the morning service, and that's a little greeting, and it's almost too late to say that, but it's still timely. It means good morning in the Moke language, and we're happy to be here, and it's been good Friday and Saturday and on into the day. Hope you all brought a sandwich. We'll be going along. No, just kidding. You know, Jesus wai lisak naka, umu umala tan ebas bla buno dodolu, naki umana papa, ida de pong nida wangen itao udung tan osep bla buno dodolu. Jesus said to his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And you know what? You folks have been there partnering with us overseas for many, many, many years. And we appreciate that. You've been with us. It's been a team effort. Mountain View Baptist Church has been involved in tribal mission in Papua New Guinea. I don't know if any of you have ever been over there, but you have been as you partnered with us and seen tribal people reached with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and reached in their own language. And they understand it, scriptural truths, very, very well in their own language. And God has privileged us to have been over there for many, many years. We're not going to, I was going to use my laser to get the PowerPoint going, and that doesn't work. Let's see if this does. May we came to the States and visited with our grandkids in San Diego. We now have three. That's Haley and Maya and Jalen was born in August, I believe. And we bought a car, call him Big Brown. He got us around pretty good till we got to downtown Pocatello and had some tranny problems and wonder why. Well, God has his purposes, and so we did a little bit of resting and relaxing in Pocatello for about 10 days while they put a used transmission into the car, and then we made our way to the West Coast, got out here around July 4th in time for a celebration with Diane's mom and relatives down in Long Beach. We're glad to do that. And we've been traveling around and sharing mission in various churches, just got off a long trip down to Southern Oregon, Northern California. Now we're back in the area and especially pleased to be here. You know, there was a family member said to me years ago, I never could have done what you did. And she's right. In her flesh, she couldn't have done what we did. In our own strength, we couldn't have done what we did. But God, who is faithful, who empowers, gives us the help that we need to carry out the mission that he's given to us as we serve him here in this life, wherever he's placed us. The psalmist said, I look to the mountains. Does my help come from there? And back in those times, people did look to the mountains. There were people in the mountains who could give help, but not the godly help. And many times, you know, the world comes in on us and says, this is the way to do it. This is the common sense way. But no, we need to look to our Lord. We look to who? The maker of heaven and earth. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And he's not going to let us stumble. He watches over us. He doesn't sleep. Praise God for that. I like the way the book Bible, Melanesian Pigeon, says this. Me look look, he go along all mountain. All right? Me look look, he go along all mountain. Ta sol man binong helping me, by he come up long want him hop. I look to the mountains, but the man who is going to help me, where is he coming from? And he goes on to say, Big Pala, that's God. He been walking heaven na ground. He created the heavens and the earth. He's the only one. One Pala ta sol, he sabe helping me. By emi no larim you e pun down, by emi look out him you, na emi no sabe sleep. He won't let you fall down. He cares for you, he looks out for you, and he doesn't sleep in this task. Praise God for that. When our head's on the pillow, God is looking out for us. When we're driving down I-5, God is looking out for us. When we're in our daily routine, God is looking out for us, and we praise him for that. You know, the Lord makes our path straight. He sets us on the trail that he wants us to be on. The Naqvis talk about God's trail, that they've been set on God's trail. And we'll hear a testimony from a Naqvi at the end of our service today. They talk about being on God's trail, that he has intervened in their lives. He's intervened in our lives. So far as salvation goes, so far as when we're doing what we're supposed to be doing for him and he wants us to change course or make some type of change, he'll intervene. He'll intervene. We think of the Apostle Paul, don't we? He thought he was doing the service to God. He was on the road to Damascus. He was persecuting Christians, and boom, God intervened in his life. Bright light, who are you, Lord? I'm the Lord Jesus Christ, who you are persecuting. God intervened in his life. The woman at the well, in the midst of her daily routine, there was the Lord Jesus sitting alongside of her, and saying some things to her that made an internal impact in her life. Peter and Andrew fishing out on the Sea of Galilee, the Lord walking along the beach saying, come. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they dropped their nets, and they followed Jesus. An intervention. Then David, tending his father's sheep, out, a regular day, a normal routine, and brother comes out and says, you got to get up to the house. Dad wants to see you. We got somebody here visiting. Go in the house, and there's the prophet Samuel, anoints him with oil. Guess what? David's going to be the future king of Israel. An intervention in life. You know, and there's a fellow back in the Old Testament by the name of Elisha, and he had an intervention in his life. He was just out in his daily routine, so to speak. And get my slideshow going. And there was a fellow by the name of Elijah who was going to do something to him to where Elisha's life was going to be changed. Now, Elijah, he had a little bit of a beating. He was feeling a little discouraged, and God picked him up, dusted him off, and said, now I want you to go and do this. And one of those tasks was to anoint or mark, so to speak, Elisha for ministry. And so Elisha's out in the field. He's plowing. And Elijah comes by. He's got his cloak. He's got his mantle, if you will. He puts it on to Elisha. And we read the scripture in verse 20 of 1 Kings where Elijah has done this. And Elisha says, let me say goodbye to my family. And Elijah says, yeah, go ahead and do that. But think about what I've done to you. Think about that. And so Elisha knew what had been done to him. He had been pointed to the office of prophet. And so he went back. It says he did a sacrifice. He gave some of the food to the people, said goodbye to the family. And then he did what? He went and followed Elijah on that day. And so we see where there was an intervention in Elisha's life. And we see on the pages of Scripture some of the things that Elisha did. Now, he started off just being a servant. One Scripture says he poured water on the knuckles of Elijah, just doing some simple little task. But then he was being groomed into a man of faith, a man who functioned in this office of prophet. And we see some of the miracles that he performed. You know, he purified the waters. He was involved in the miracle of the widow's oil. And we can read these stories in the pages of Scripture. He raised a Shunammite son. He made the poison stew edible. He multiplied the barley and the grain. He healed Naaman. He said, go dunk in the water 7 times. Go to that river. And Naaman did and was healed. There was a raising of the axe head. All these things. And you say, wow, this guy was functioning in his office as prophet. But one thing that impresses me is his conduct under fire. Elisha's conduct under fire. Elijah was gone. Elisha was performing the office of prophet. And there came a situation. A situation. And we're all caught up in situations at time. And Elisha's attendant had gotten up in the morning, and he looked out, and he saw this enemy army surrounding the city, and he said, this, alas, my master, you know, after seeing all that, bad situation, alas, my master, what shall we do? Elisha's response is remarkable to me. He gives a word of encouragement at first. Sees all this enemy out there, and he gives a word of encouragement, and he said to his attendant, he said, don't fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Wow. So he gives a word of encouragement, and then he prays. He said to the Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And the servant's eyes were opened, and he saw these horses and these chariots of fire all around Elisha. And then Elisha prayed again, and the Aramean's eyes, they were blinded and then led away. And this, to me, demonstrates the maturity of Elisha. And this is where the Lord is wanting to bring us to, maturity in faith. Not that he wants us to be working miracles on a daily basis. Not that we're going to be surrounded by the enemies such as the Arameans, but yet he wants us to be looking to him in a calm manner, people who offer encouragement, people who pray and are an example to the Christian community and also the community that is not Christians. And the Lord desires to do His special, precious work in our life. He wants to develop us into people of faith. There's a fellow by the name of David Roper. He's written some books. I really like him. And he said, faith is simpler and grander than we believe. We tend to think of it as psyching ourselves into accepting improbable facts that are hard, if not impossible, to believe. But authentic faith is something else. It is the capacity to look beyond the seen to the unseen world of reality where the invisible God is at work. The heroes of the book of Hebrews were not folks who believed what others could not believe. They were women and men who saw what others could not see. May God, who is working within us, transform us into these types of people, men and women in faith. And Pigeon, I like the way they say this. Yumi sabe, all right? We know, guys. God is sabe wok inside long bell binong yupala. Okay, that's the stomach, but it's really the heart. Em yet I kirap him like binong yupala binong make him all passing emi like him. Na emi give him yupala strong binong make him all disela passing. All right, so he's working a desire within us to do all the things that he desires us to do. And he gives us the strength. Now, he give him you pala strong, but on make him all this pala passing. He gives you the strength to do this. Beautiful, beautiful. God doesn't leave us on our own. God does not leave us on our own. He gives us the strength to carry out the task that he wishes us to perform. You know, there was an intervention in our life. It took a while. I mean, we were challenged in 1974, but it was 10 years later we finally got to where God was wanting us to go. We're a little bit stubborn, you know, and it takes a while for God to, and we finally, 10 years later, got to where God was wanting us to be involved in tribal mission. And so we went to Papua New Guinea, and this is a little north of Australia. There's some folks in the audience here today who've been to PNG. And I'm not going to call any names right now, but they've been to Papua New Guinea, and besides Diane and myself. And so we landed in Port Moresby and then went over to West New Britain. And it's an island nation, size of California, and has over 6 million people. The trade language is Melanesian Pidgin. Me pela hamamas no good through. Long come, na stop one time, you pela long this a day. Long one, you pela been sun up strong, na supporting me pela long side benong offer, na long side benong baiten. We're happy to come here today. Me pela hamamas no good through. Okay, we're really happy to be here today because you guys have been partnering with us. And we just count that as a privilege. You know, we went there, and I often say, well, wonder what happened to us. Look at But there's Kristen, and she's in Virginia now. Whoops, I went ahead too fast. And Kyle, and then Joshua, and Ashley was born in Goroka in 1985. And this is just a current shot. I took this last, about 3 months, 4 months ago. A little more than that, but this year. And this is a gateway now from Jackson International Airport and going into Port Moresby. So that's the change there, John and Barb. So we went over to New Britain. We cut down some trees, slabbed some boards, and built a house, and also served about 5 villages with medical services. And that's Diane looking really enthused after a long day as we under the house. And I wanted to point that out and make her happy. Oh, I'm getting a bad look there. And we encountered different situations, sewing up people or sicknesses. I'm not going to list all the things that we encountered. And if sometimes we got something that was a little too difficult, then we could do a medevac. And this is November Tango Foxtrot taking off from our airstrip way out in the middle of the jungle. No roads, no telephone, no nothing. And we could just send that patient out to a place called Hoskins, then they would get an ambulance and take it to the provincial capital, Kimbay, and the person would then get the treatment. We're thankful for that. But medevac, we had planes come in other than medevacs. We had a monthly supply run with food and groceries or mail. And so we really, really wanted to hear the sound of that aircraft once a month. And the cry would go up from the village, Balus Mach, Balus Mach. The plane is coming. The plane is coming. And we were excited because that was our link with civilization. If you ever lived in a remote area way out in the middle of the jungle, just flying over green tropical jungle, and then you live way out there, you feel that remoteness. You feel that remoteness. So it's nice to have an aircraft linking you with what we would think of as civilization. We were there for one purpose, and that was to preach the gospel to the Moke people, see a church planted and raised up. Here I'm coming through a village with my partner, Mark, and these guys, I'll tell you what, they were excited. Tiwaisi tiklingani de tapongani la wangan. All right? They wanted to hear our Creator, His talk. This is the Moke tribal language. And they're just so thrilled. The whole village running through. See, we get to hear God's word. We get to hear God's word. This is in a very, very remote village. And praise God. You know what? Their stomachs went strong to Jesus after they heard the gospel in their language. It took 2 years to learn that language and that culture before we were even qualified to teach scriptural truths in the language of the people. Well, you know what is going on, went on in Moke, and there's about 17 churches in Moke today functioning on their own. They have a literacy class going on. Literacy classes are learning to read and write in their own language. They were illiterate before. And we're so thankful that God gave us the privilege of being amongst the Moke. Well, we had a lot of territory that we were, different ministries were involved with, but I want to get down to Port Moresby. And before we get there, though, I want you to think about a work that has just started this year, called the Paul people in Madang province. And missionaries are going out there. The only way to get in is by helicopter. And so they've got the building supplies on this chopper. They're going out to this area called Paul. This is where these folks live at an elevation of 3,400 feet. And missionary, that's where he's built his house. Can't find hardly any flat places out there. So they build it on the side of this hill. And we see it with the windsock. So the chopper pilot knows which way the wind's blowing. And so if you remember, they just entered into the work this last year amongst the Paul. They're in the middle of CLA. We call it culture language acquisition right now. And these people are going to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in their own language. So if you remember, pray for the Paul people. You know, Diane and I... we work in Port Moresby. We do paperwork for all our missionaries. We have 450 new tribes, over 450 new tribes missionaries in Papua New Guinea with their kids and all. It's over 800 people, probably 800 individuals. And so these people were up in Paul. We did their paperwork with work permits from the Department of Labor. You have to have a work permit from the Department of Labor before you ever can begin to think about coming to Papua New Guinea. But before you can even cross the border, you also must have a visa. So they need all these things, all these documents must be done with different government offices so you can come and work in PNG. And that's where Diane and I and our co-workers come in now. And so we handle all this paperwork. And it's a massive load, praise God, for computers. Parliament House, Port Moresby. This is the gate to our NTM Center. We live in a city of over 500,000 people, 80% unemployment, high crime rate, some corruption going on. So we appreciate your prayer for our safety. As I pointed out, this isn't razor wire, isn't for aesthetic purposes. However, look at that bougainvillea. How'd you like to drive in and see that pretty flower there every day? Beautiful. We have a new staff house. And an emergency flat where missionaries can stay. We call it, it's not a tire, folks, it's an apartment. And that's what they call it in that part of the world. And so if a missionary can't find housing in the city at this one particular guest house or a hotel, then they can stay here. And so we have that. And we have our other staff house, and then our office, and then an apartment for our co-worker, John. And John is just a neat Christian fella, and he's our office guy. He, got my laser. We like John. We like John. And we miss him, and we're going to be glad to get back and work with John in the office. And he does a lot of our legwork with the Department of Labor, Department of Immigration, so on and so forth. This is the team that was this year, Bonnie and Janelle and Phil, Manuel, Diane, myself, and John. And Phil and Janelle are leaving. And so now we have John and Linda Sutton from Brisbane, Australia, going to be working for us, with us. And we're looking forward to working with John and Linda Sutton. Eldon and Marsha Paget, for those of you know the Pagets, Linda's folks used to work on the mission field with Eldon and Marsha Paget way, way back. So a small, small world that we live in Christian circles. Just in the office there with John and Diane and I in our little office. And these are all the work, these are over 400 missionaries that we did work permits for. We turned in their documentation, and it's a lot of documentation, folks. Put it in the Department of Labor in November and finally got the last one out in April. But they need this. Missionaries need these work permits so that they can do missionary work in Papua New Guinea. We appreciate your prayer on this. This is one of the fastest turnarounds we've ever seen. Every 3 years, New Tribes Mission has to do a renewal on work permits for their missionaries. So that's just a list of some of the things we do. We work with the Department of Labor in Papua New Guinea, foreign embassies in Port Moresby, passport renewals for our NTM missionaries who come from about 14 different countries around the world. We do official business at Jackson Airport. We represent NTM at official functions. We buy supplies in Port Moresby for missionaries if they can't find it elsewhere in the country. That's just some of the things that we're involved in. We do a lot of writing to different departments. Here's a letter I wrote to the Nursing Council and for a nurse from Germany. She's wanting to come and do missionary work. You just can't come into the country and begin to do nursing work. So you write this letter and say, hey, would you let her come in, give the approval, and she's not going to be paid. She's not going to take a job away from a Papua New Guinean. And I turned that in November of 2009. I got it out in April of 2010 after repeated visits. So one of the things we need is prayer for patience and a smile always in dealing with officials. Because if you don't, then you run into some problems where your paperwork won't be processed at all. So official functions, this was the Kodiak aircraft, Wycliffe was bringing it in the country. We were invited to represent NTM at the ceremonies. There were government dignitaries, and it was a beautiful day to see this Kodiak that's going to serve well for mission work in Papua New Guinea. I get down to the airport every once in a while, wear a badge, and that gets me into the customs and immigration, the backside of the airport. It's a security pass, and we need that when we're working down at the airport. Diane with some supplies. She's with a Seroptimus Club. She's joined that, and here they are getting some supplies together for three community schools in Oro Province that have been affected by a disaster, having a good day working with the ladies there, and at church with some of our friends, and a Bible study group on Sunday, and we've got a real mix of Papua New Guineans and Malaysians and Filipinos, and that's our Sunday Bible study group. And we have a great time with these believers from around the world. Our Tuesday Bible study group, which has moved to Saturday, I don't know how we got involved with this, but now these folks are all from the Philippines. But there we are. That's where the Lord has led us at this time. We do have community PR, and Pastor David and his family, we like to keep good relationships with the neighbors when you live in a high security area. And we were having a barbecue on this day. It's Manuel and his family. Who were with us on this particular day. And I want to focus our attention on Manuel. He's not only works for New Tribes Mission on our little center there, but he's interested in the things of the Lord. He's a leader in his local church, And these guys, Manuel's from the Yargarilla language group. Their language sounds a little something like this. Soko hoka beapie. How are you doing? And some might not be doing so fine, but you would respond back. Soko hoka beawe. I'm doing fine. Manuel and some Yargarians are employed in Port Moresby. God is good. 80% of Port Moresbyites don't have work, but the Yargarians, they have work. Those who are, worshiping God and following God, God is taking care of them down here in Port Moresby. And they said, we've got 2-week vacation coming up. We're going to charter an aircraft. We're going to go back up into the highlands, and then we're going to, you know what? We're going to go with this outreach group, and we're going to go back into these remote areas where we've come from and Lufa District, and we want to be a blessing. We want to be a blessing to, you know, the folks that from where we've come, to the churches and to the unsaved. And they did. They did. On their 2-week vacation, they went back up into the highlands. Now, this is Manuel. You can see, see him up here in the tree? He's way up here trimming away, and boy, I'll tell you, when I saw him on this day trimming that tree, my stomach was in knots. But you know what made me very, very happy was they went back up to Lufa District. Here they are, the group. They're back up in the Eastern Highlands, Manuel here, and I don't know what exactly is going on in this particular function, but there they are. And some of the folks said, we're going to take an offering, and they've got a blanket out on the ground. And so it's none of this passing the, you know, the plate around, people going by and throwing and they call it the kina. They don't call it dollars, they call it kina. It's on their 2 kina notes or whatever they, onto this blanket and taking an offering. So that's what Manuel and the guys were involved with on their 2-week vacation serving the Lord. Now they got greeted on the trail. You take a look at this. This is a traditional greeting with a bow and arrow. And I guess if I saw that, I'd probably turn the other way and run as fast as I could. Probably could not run the arrow. So, but here they are with their caps on, and they got these caps that say, I love Jesus. And they're out ministering for the Lord up there in the highlands of PNG. And we're thankful for this group because New Tribes Mission went into the Yargarian language back in the late 50s, early 60s. Started to plant churches, and now this people group is having an impact throughout Papua New Guinea. And so we're very, very thankful for that. Well, I'm going to close with some testimonies. Won't take too long. I just wanted to think about one particular fellow up in Chimbu Province. His name's Umba. And Umba and his wife, they had threats made against them. He was going to challenge his accusers because he'd been accused of witchcraft. Him and his wife, they'd caused the death of a baby. That's what it was. People were saying in this community. And, it says he's not going to stand idle, okay? He's going to challenge his accusers. And he told missionary Will Tallman, he said, we're trusting in God's word and they're trusting in Satan's power. If we stand... okay. We can really apply this to ourselves, can't we? If we stand on God's word, we have nothing to fear, and people will see what is really the truth. He spoke these profound words. He'd been charged with witchcraft. People charged with witchcraft up in this area usually just stay silent and fear for their lives, hoping that they won't have a bush knife taken to them and hacked into pieces, because this happens at times. And so Umba... they had a meeting. He says, you guys, we're going to meet on Saturday, and you bring this witch doctor out, and he's got to approve his accusations. Well, these people couldn't find the witch doctor. Nothing could be proven. And finally, the village leader said, hey, you guys have done a big wrong against Umba and his wife. You guys cough up the money. You're going to have to pay some compensation. And Umba would not accept that money. Here's what Umba said. He said this to these people. He says, I have not come here to defend myself or claim compensation. I've come here to tell you that your actions are against God's word and are not according to the truth in it. I do not want this money. I want you all to know of the salvation that only comes by faith in Jesus. He said, I don't want your money. All I want you to know is about our Lord Jesus Christ. What a powerful testimony. You know, in this bastion times, I think of Satan, people caught up in bondage and these accusations of witchcraft and all this going on, and Uma takes a stand. Hadn't been done before. And you know what? They passed a law in the village, and they did something historic, the village leaders. There was a court document written declaring that no one is allowed to use a witch again, and that all accusations of sorcery killings would be met with a stiff fine, put into law there, because Uma took a stand. What impact we have as we take a stand for the Lord, and we can affect our community. Well, we're talking about God doing an intervention and being put on God's trail, and I'm going to finish up here with a Nakwi of the Sipik. Emo, there was a 20-year-old man. Missionaries are phasing out. Now, the missionaries are phasing out of this tribe in the Sipik. The church was functioning on its own, didn't need missionary assistance. And Emo, a 20-year-old newly married man, these Nakwis were giving testimonies to the missionaries. He said, "It's good for me to be stuck to him." What was he talking about? Joined to Jesus, in union with Jesus. We know that on the fork tree, his blood was shed. The two of us are now together. Jesus wants to hold me as his worker, and so he joins us together. God decided he will be my child. When he dies, I will go and get him. I will go and get him. That makes me very happy, and so it should us. God will come and get us when he determines our time on earth is finished. Praise God for that. You know, Taukia, he says God's help is big. It's not little. God's help is big. It's not little. The spirits of this world can't help us. God alone is powerful, and they're in tune with the spirit world. Let me tell you this. They're in tune with the spirit world. He says, "I have many, many sins. From the time I was young, I've sinned and sinned, but Jesus has helped me. I know I'm going to heaven because Jesus has helped us. He was not an ordinary man, not a sinner. He was God's true son. I'm convinced of this." And finally, a fellow by the name of Kibo, he said this. "It's like that trail out there. My children and I walk that trail. Before us, our fathers, our grandfathers, our great-grandfathers walked that same trail over and over, year after year." And then he says something profound. That's how it might have been for us spiritually, too. "Our forefathers lived in darkness, traveling Satan's trail generation after generation, but you came and showed us God's trail. We now walk the trail that Jesus cut for us, and we are very happy. Thank you for revealing it to us. Thank you for coming and telling us about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're not walking a spiritual trail that our fathers and our grandfathers and our great-grandfathers walked. We're walking on God's trail. They're walking on the same trail that each and every one of us who have placed our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is walking on. And in eternity, we will know what the effect has been of the team effort that has taken place in Papua New Guinea and reaching all these men, women, and children for the Lord Jesus Christ in their own language." And so he says thank you. Diane and I say thank you. Tok thank you. We say this, "Mi tu pala ga laik, long tok thank you, long you pala, bidang wanam you pala bin san up strong, na supporting mi pala long sai bidang beten na tu long sai bidang offer." So you guys have stayed strong, and you have supported us in prayer and in finances. You've partnered with us. You've been a part of the work in Papua New Guinea. And so we wish to say, Yupala have been making all same planti here. You've done this for many years. Thank you, true. Na big pala, e blessing true, Yupala. Dan and I say, you know, thank you so very much. We wish God's richest, we wish his abundant blessing upon you, Pela, for partnering in the work with me, Pela. Thank you. And as the Moke say when they end a talk, Lugu Wangan Yagos. My talk is finished, and I'll turn it over to Brother Kim.
That if you are in a position in life where you are still young enough to be considering what it is that you're going to do with your life, you might consider how the Lord could use you in some place in the world. And you might look at this jungle area and think, well, how in the world could I ever survive there? But there is a phenomenal blessing to those who just follow and submit to the will of the Lord. And so give careful consideration to how you will invest your life. It's the only one you're going to get. It's just one time around. And so are you going to invest it foolishly and selfishly in some small thing that you think might be comfortable? Or are you going to be bold and brave and trust the Lord for how he would send you and use you? I am grateful this morning for your message, Dave, and for the challenge. My prayer is that you'll come back tonight and give us a chance to share a little bit more with you and then join together in prayer for our team. Commit you this week to the service of the Lord as you go out. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you this morning for the challenge from your word and the example of a life that's lived intentionally and wholeheartedly for the kingdom of God. And so, Father, I just pray that you'd speak to the hearts of everyone here and how we can make our lives what you want, what you're looking for as you lay hold of us. And so, Father, this week, use each one to be an instrument of your grace in the world around us. We give ourselves afresh to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And God bless you.